of Numbers, it's the 25th chapter. Perhaps we'll read from the last verse of chapter 24. Numbers 24, verse 25. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came, and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. Thus far. Our brother has brought before us the value, indeed the absolute necessity, of having an appreciation of Christ, but more than that, having that appreciation as the first most and foremost thing in our hearts. We read in our reading this afternoon of Balaam, and we discussed that the most successful act of the devil was not his attempt to get Balaam to curse the people of Israel, but rather what Balaam did in the end in instigating a marriage with those from outside the house of Israel. And we've read here the very tragic consequences of what all that Balaam did. Israel, we read in verse 1, had began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They had mixed themselves up with those who were not of Israel. And the consequence was that they lost sight of their God, Israel's God. God who had looked after them, who had saved them from Egypt, who had cared for them in the wilderness. They lost sight of him and they looked to other gods. And we read, they did eat and they bowed down to their gods. It's not here an act of a few, it was the act of them all. Without reading too much into this passage, brethren, I would ask that we take this to heart, that we ask ourselves whether, as a company, we've lost sight of the person of the Lord, and whether, as a company, we have set our eyes upon other things. We can't really ask that question of a company. We have to ask that question of ourselves. It's a challenging thing to our hearts to ask whether we really have the Lord as the most important thing in our lives, in our assembly life. Well, we read that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And so death came in. And the consequence, dear brethren, of a departure from the things of the Lord is that there will be a loss. There will be sorrow. There will be distress. And how can we deny the fact that there are such things amongst us at this time? We read that the people, the children of Israel, were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. But were they weeping in repentance? Did they see that the consequences, the results, were due to their own act, their own departure? Or were they merely weeping at the consequences themselves? And we would ask ourselves, are we in sorrow? Do we regret the condition of things amongst us? Or have we taken it back to the cause? Have we got to that point where we sorrow and we weep over the cause of these things rather than the symptoms themselves? Because, to my mind, it's very clear that this hadn't been done, because in a very time of grief and woe, here was one who came, and in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, he brought this Midianitish woman. In amongst that outward outpouring of sorrow, he brought in a very visible way the very thing that had been the cause of their grief. And we have to ask ourselves, are our actions merely perpetuating the things which are the cause of the difficulty amongst us? Or have we gone back to the root of our difficulties, the fact that we've lost sight of the Lord? We've left our first love. We haven't given him the first place. Well, here was one, Phineas. He saw it. Perhaps he was the only one who saw it. He rose up, he took a javelin, and we read of the sad act. Sad, unpleasant, unpalatable it was, and maybe an outward reaction would have been one of disgust and horror. Well, so be it, it had to be done. And we read that the Lord was pleased with Phineas. Do we have an appreciation of the Lord's mind in these things? Or do we merely look in a human way at how things are being done? Do we have the Lord's mind? Do we see from his side of things what it is to have such affection, such zeal for the Lord, that one is willing to take up this very unpleasant act? Here was a Midianitish woman brought in. This was the cause of the problem. Something had been brought in the very midst, in the sight of all. Now we can apply this in various ways. Have we been the one doing the bringing in? Have we brought something in that's not of God? Or have we been those who are weeping, sorrowing at the weakness, the departure, but not really coming to it that we are the cause of it ourselves? It may be persons who have been brought in. It may be doctrines which have been brought in. It may be worldly methods. There are many applications, I'm sure. I'll leave it to your hearts to apply it to your own circumstances and your own locality. Things that have been brought in. Think of the account we read elsewhere of the meal which was being prepared. There was death, there was a dearth in the land, a famine, and a pot was set, and in an attempt to feed the people, we read, I'm sure we know the story well, of how one found wild gourds, put them in the pot. The best intention. Here was a source of food, and into the pot it went. But we read that it was the cause of death. There was death in the pot. And brethren, if we, for whatever good motives, bring in things which are not of God, if we bring in worldly methods, we allow false doctrines to come in with the best of intentions, it will bring in death. And what was the antidote? The antidote, the meal that was thrown into the pot. I feel brethren would agree that that speaks of Christ. The person of the Lord Jesus is the antidote to these things. And I feel that it would be underlining all that our brother has said to emphasize this point, that if we bring in Christ, if we have an appreciation of him, then it will be an antidote to all that has come in, whether deliberately or unwittingly, to allow Christ to be an antidote to these things. Well, we read here, Phinehas took up, he was in the line of priests. It was a priestly act. It was an act for God. It was Godward. That's why he did it. That's why he took up the javelin. It wasn't to gain the approval of his brethren. It wasn't to gain the approval of anyone but God. And we read that God he looked upon the zeal of this one. He looked upon the zeal of Phinehas. And the consequence was in verse 12 that peace came in. And brethren, if we want peace, if we want peace to be enjoyed individually and in our local companies and in a wider sphere, we have to put right first those things which are not of God. We cannot have peace through compromise, through turning a blind eye. I'm not talking here about how it should be done. I don't want anything to be made of the use of the javelin. We might say it's a violent method. Well, it is, but I'm not speaking of these things. I'll leave it to others to mitigate what I say in relation to procedure and methods. But it's the motive that I'm bringing before us. The motive was the zeal of Phinehas' love for God. And God looked upon it. And if we have a right motive in taking up these things, then God will bless it with bringing in of peace. We notice that these two are named. Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. What might we have done in Phinehas' place? Would we have paused? Would we have hesitated with that javelin when we realised it was Zimri, of a prince of the people? Are we respecters of persons? Do we hesitate to deal with matters because of who a person is? Many of you will know that we've had before us in our local company the principles of Leviticus 23 and others in relation to the leprous house. I was reading a commentator's view of that. It's not a commentator I would wholeheartedly recommend in view of the his part in the controversy some 70 years ago, but his earlier works are very helpful, and he said this, that when a matter needs to be looked into in relation to a leprous house, what God is bringing before all is the house itself. It's not occupying us with persons and with things. And sadly, that's what we find. When God is dealing with us in relation to things that have come into the house of God, we're distracted. We're diverted with persons and things rather than seeing the matter from God's side. Well, from God's side, we see clearly that he recognized the zeal of Phinehas went beyond being a respecter of persons. He had no thought that it was Zimri. It didn't matter to Phinehas whether it was Zimri or a very lowly one. Nevertheless, he took up the javelin. And lastly, we read that this woman, Cosby, she too, although a Midianite, was descended from a head of the people, a chief house in Midian. Doesn't matter that the one coming in outwardly could have brought many benefits. No matter that the one coming in was, in the world's eyes, someone to look up to. She wasn't of the house of Israel. And we need to be discerning, brethren, in relation to those things which we bring in. Doesn't matter whether in the world's eyes they're of benefit. They're not of Christ. It's bringing in death. I was reading recently a little article that appears on the back of a magazine of Christian books. And I always enjoy this particular writer. I think he would be we'd find many differences between his understanding of Scripture and his ecclesiastical position, but nevertheless, he seems to have the Lord's mind in many matters. Incidentally, he has recently republished Fox's Book of Martyrs, and he's added a few later chapters, bringing the book up to date. I mention that in passing in view of the reference to it in the reading. But he was remarking, you know, on things that go on in the States, in the USA. And there one Christian church was using wrestling matches as an evangelistic tool. And this man was writing against this. And he said he remembered speaking to an evangelist who remarked to him, you know, what you catch them with, you've got to keep them with. And it's true. If you use certain methods to draw people in, the only way you'll keep them is to continue with those same methods. Be very wary. In these days when there is so much pressure on us from believers to use this and that method of evangelism and Christian fellowship, it might have the appearance outwardly of something which is wise, but if it's not of God, don't go in for it. This man, he said, if you attract them with Christ, they'll be satisfied with Christ. And I was thankful to read that. Here was a voice, a lone voice really in this magazine, in a way, for the simplicity of the word. I say all this very much to my own heart, and I trust none will feel it's in mitigation of anything that's been said. I feel very much the value of all that's been brought before us in our love and affection for the Lord Jesus. But may it have a practical effect in our dealings with one another and our dealings with those things which have come in amongst us. And may the Lord give us wisdom and grace to act in a righteous way for himself, and thus may we enjoy the peace that comes from God. May it be so.